Psalms chapter number 1.
We'll start reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Don't underline that if you mark in your Bible, so make a note of that. Rivers of water. "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so," verse number 4, "but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Verse number 6, watch this real close. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us this morning to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. And Lord, for just the privilege to be here today. Thank you for everyone that's come this way today, Father, to gather at the house of God, Father, to hear from the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'll open up their ears and their understanding and help them. And Father, I do pray, as we hear the Word of God preached, I pray, Lord, that you bless the Lord, the Word as it goes forth. I pray that you illuminate this mind of mine, Lord. I pray that you to guard these lips of clay. Help me, Father, and say over that that's well pleasing, Lord, in your sight. I pray, God, you give me clarity of speech, clarity of thought. May the sinner, Father, today realize their sinful condition. I pray, Lord, for the lost, the undone, without Jesus Christ, walking in their ungodly ways. I pray, God, they see their need of a Savior. Lord, if there's anybody listening by the way of social media, Father, that know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, I pray, God, today will be the day they come to that saving knowledge, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. I pray, God, for the saints, Lord, that have sin in their life, Lord, that they would repent of that, turn from that, and, God, you renew that fellowship. I pray, God, your will is accomplished. Your will is done through the preached word today. I thank you, and I praise you for what is accomplished. In Jesus' loving name, we do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look at Psalms chapter number 1 and begin in verse number 1, the very first word of that chapter is blessed. Now, some people say blessed and some people say blessed, but either way, it's the same meaning. That word means happy. You'll find it is translated in the book of Psalms as blessed or happy more than any other book of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And Psalms starts off with this blessed. And you also find it whenever the Lord Jesus Christ himself began his Sermon on the Mount. He began his Sermon on the Mount with that same word, blessed art they. Amen. Many times through that Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, blessed are they which do or which do not do. Amen. And so we find this is a word that's been translated several times, but it means the same as the word happy. All right, as we find in reading the rest of the chapter, we find the why of that word. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The first three verses of Psalms chapter number 1 is dealing with the righteous. The last three verses is dealing with the ungodly. There's a thing about the righteous and there's a thing about the ungodly. Amen. As we look at this, we find the why of why man is blessed, why man is happy, and the description of his actions. Notice with me, the Bible here says that he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man is seeking counsel for his life from a wiser counsel. He's not going to Dr. Spock. He's not going to the philosophers of the world. He's not going to somebody that's evil and undone without God. He is going to the wiser counsels and walks in the commandments of the Lord his God. That's who he's seeking counsel after. But he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His footsteps are ordered by the word of God and not by cunning craftiness of wicked men, wicked devices, and the carnality of the world. Amen. That's not what he's seeking. That's not the way he walks. The Bible says this is a blessed man. Amen. That seeketh not his counsel from the ungodly. I know there's been people in my ministry that's came to me and said, listen, I talked to so-and-so and this is what they told me. And that so-and-so was just as wicked as the world was. They had no reputation at all of living for God or loving the Lord or anything like that. And they would say, well, this is what they told me that I should do. Well, I encourage them, don't you listen to that. Don't you go by that. You find somebody that's godly. You find somebody that's got a good reputation of serving the Lord and being in God's house and serving the Lord with gladness. That's the one you want to talk to. Amen. I heard just this week of a grandpa. And listen, thank God for grandpas. Amen. Thank God for godly mamas. Thank God for godly daddies. But I heard just this week of a grandpa. And listen, that somebody needed some counsel. Somebody lost in their sins and needed some counsel. You know where they went? They found a grandpa that loved God, that had a reputation of serving the Lord, and they went to that pawpaw. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm not ready to preach right there for just a little bit on the pawpaws. Amen. Now listen, I am one. Amen. But they found this pawpaw and they said, hey pawpaw, I'm lost and I need to be saved. And grandpa was so full of God, he knew what to do, knew how to handle the situation. Amen. That's the kind of people that they need to seek. Amen. Not the counsels of the ungodly. We'll find that someone is lost in their sin and on their way to a devil's hell to go to a Catholic or go to some of the false religionists and say, I feel like I need to do something with my life. I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go when I go out into eternity. I don't even know if this eternity thing is real. And they'll go to the religionists, they'll go to the Catholics and all the others, and they say, what shall I do? And they will lead them astray and lead them in the paths of the ungodly. They'll lead them in the paths of the wicked. Amen. And the devil will deceive them. They go to the ungodly, though. They ask for advice, and the devil will deceive them into thinking that they are okay because of what they heard or by some ritual that they did or some work that they done, that's the way they get to heaven, and they'll believe that, and the devil has deceived them. That's the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. The ungodly, listen, the Bible has a lot to say about them. I'll talk about them in a minute. I don't want to deal with them just yet. But let me say this. Satan has dominion over the world. Since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, Satan now has dominion over the world. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. That means we're not each other's enemy. Amen. That means we're not each other's enemy. Amen. We don't wrestle against each other, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle is for the minds of men. Listen real close to me this morning. The battle is for the minds of men. When I'm talking about, when I say man, I'm talking about mankind. Man, woman, boy, and girl. The battle is for our mind. In the very beginning, the devil, Satan, deceived Eve. And he played tricks with her mind. And he said, hath God really said? And began to change the words of God and make it sound like that God didn't mean what he said. And so the battle is real. And the battle is for our minds. And the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's a mind game. It's a mind thing. Amen. And we wrestle against that. It's a spiritual battle. It's a physical battle for our minds. We must decide if we're going to follow the counsel of the ungodly, or are we going to follow the law of the Lord? Amen. Every man, boy, and girl that's ever been born must make that decision. Am I going to follow the counsel of the ungodly? Am I going to listen to Satan's crowd? Or am I going to listen to the law of the Lord? Am I going to walk with the unrighteous? Or am I going to walk with the righteous? Amen. Everybody has to make that decision. Amen. Here we find that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. He doesn't walk with them. And you notice as we study this passage of Scripture, there's a progression. He not only does he walk with them, but he standeth with them, and then he sitteth with them. That's the progression of a fallen man, amen, that takes counsel with the ungodly. The great decision of life is whether we will follow after the law of God or the counsel of the ungodly. That great decision has consequences. It has consequences for our life. If you follow after the counsel of the ungodly, you'll have ungodly consequences. Hello, is anybody listening? If you follow after the counsels of the law of God, you'll have godly consequences. Yeah. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible's full of promises. God said, blessed is the man. Amen. Blessed is the man. If you listen to God and follow God's word, you'll be blessed. Hey, listen, if you'll follow after the righteousness of God, you'll be blessed. I don't know how much plainer I can put that. Amen. If you just go with God, you'll be a blessed individual. Well, preacher, you don't know the persecution that I've had to go through just because I say I'm a Christian. Promise you this much, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You go against God, you follow the counsel of the ungodly, and see what kind of persecution you'll get from God. The wrath of God falls upon man. You don't want that on your life. Amen. I don't want God mad at me. I like being in close personal fellowship with Him. Amen. I love feeling the blessings of God. I love it when God swoops down and pats me on the backside of my soul. Say, son, it's going to be alright. I've got it all under control. Don't you worry about a thing. I like it when God blesses beyond measure. Amen. He blesses beyond measure. He does things that only God can do. And that's those that serve the Lord. Amen. You've got to make your mind up. Amen. Who are you going to serve?
Amen.
Follow after the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, it's a great decision. There's consequences of life. There's consequences if I choose to follow the counsel of the ungodly. If I choose to listen to the Roman Catholicism and their lies, there's consequences. If I choose to listen to the Jehovah's Witness, if I choose to listen to the Buddhist and all the others, if I choose to listen to that, that's the counsel of the ungodly, there's consequences.
Right.
What's the consequence? Spend eternity in hell.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll die in your sins and you will go to a devil's hell.
Right.
The Bible says that blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. From the opposite of that is, and listen, is those that walk in the counsel of the ungodly, they will never find themselves blessed.
Right.
They will never find themselves in the heaven that God has created for the believer. They'll never find themselves at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. They won't find themselves in the rapture of the church when God takes the bride. Amen. They won't find themselves in that number.
Right.
Amen.
Counsel of the ungodly is nothing less than the philosophy of the natural man who seeks to understand his existence and control his destiny without regard to God. There's many people say that you can't know that you're saved. They say there's no way you can know for sure you're going to heaven. That's the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. They say that there's no way you can know that your soul, listen, will make it there. There's no way that you can know these things. There's really no God out there. There's the atheist that says that he's not even real. There's the agnostic that says, oh yeah, there's God. I just don't believe all those things about him. Natural man. Listen, he don't understand those things. He's trying to figure out his existence. He's trying to control his destiny without seeking God. It is man-centered rather than God-centered. It's humanistic rather than theistic. It is based on the myth of evolution rather than on the fact of creation. Amen. In contrast to that, the philosophy of the natural man, in contrast to what natural man thinks, it is the infallible Word of God. Amen. The revealing the Lord as Creator and Judge. A man is hopeless, lost without God's salvation. We find in the infallible Word of God, without God, there's no hope. Amen. But man thinks there is in their philosophy. Notice, if you would, the Bible says that he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He standeth not in the way of sinners, being a sinner himself, but yet he doesn't stand there with those sinners. He's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a change on the inside. Something transformed on the inside. Hallelujah. It doesn't stand there with the sinners. But when the dirty jokes are told, they walk away. When they begin to blaspheme their God, they walk away. And they stand up against that and don't listen to that. They don't the sinners. Where do they stand? Stand in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There's many that stand in the way of sinners. The sinners are all around them, and they like to be with that number. They like to be in that crowd. They lay out of the house of God to go be around sinners. Everybody listening, I'm having a good time preaching this morning. Amen. I'm not a popular preacher. Don't ever want to be. Won't ever be. Amen. But listen, but there's people that like to be in the congregation of the sinners. They'd rather lay out of the house of God and stay away from the church and stay away from the things of God to go be around a bunch of sinners who are ungodly on their way to hell. The Bible says you'll never be blessed. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Because it says, blessed is a man that does not do that.
Right.
Amen. Don't stand in the way of the sinner. Stay away from it. Now listen, there's one thing about being in this world and being around people. We can't help but be around sinners. Amen. You go to the grocery store, the grocery store's full of sinners. Amen. Walmart's full of sinners. Everywhere you go, the world is full of sinners. Amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. Can't help but be around but who you fellowship with. Amen. When you're standing there with them, you're fellowshipping with them, and they're partaking of the wickedness, and they're drinking their booze, and they're smoking their dope, and doing all that stuff, and you're right there with them. Hey, listen, you'll never be blessed.
That's right.
It'll destroy you. Saints of God cannot hang around there. It'll destroy you. The world's philosophy is, it's okay. You don't have to worry. It's not going to affect you. Yes, it will. Yeah. It's the wicked devices of the devil that tempt you to thinking that that's okay. He didn't stand, the Bible says, nor does he stand in the way of sinners. He does not congregate with evil men. Stays away from them. You know, I've had many invitations to go play golf with some men. I'm not against golf. Y'all play golf, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. I've never really understood that. I have a hard time understanding putt-putt, that long golf, amen. But I like to turn wrenches. I like to work on cars. I like drag racing stuff, spilling 104 octane, stuff like that. I mean, that's my charge, amen. If you play golf, that's fine. But listen, I've had many opportunities to go play golf with some men. Men I work with want me to go play golf. When they play golf, they play golf on Sunday. I said, preacher, would you go play golf with us on Sundays? No, I won't. Well, you can come after church. I don't have time. Now, if you go play golf on Sunday after church, you go from 2 and 4, that's not just your business. Be back to church on Sunday night. Amen. But they asked me, they said, preacher, would you come play golf? I said, no, I won't do that. There's several reasons why I don't do that. First of all, because I'm a pastor of church, I don't have time. Amen. I got to get my 30-minute nap in, or at least my 10-minute nap in. Amen. But I got to get a little bit of nap in before I come back on Sunday night. We got a prayer room. Sometimes we have prayer practice. We got things to do. I'm going to preach. I got to study. Got to get ready. Got to pray. I mean, there's a lot to do on Sunday.
Yeah.
For the church. And then, listen, don't misunderstand it. I don't want to wait till Sunday to prepare for all on Sunday. Amen. But there's a lot to do on Sunday. After preparation all through the week, then there's still the things to do on Sunday. And so I don't do it for that reason. For that reason, I don't do it because I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. I'm not going to stand there with a bunch of sinners and knock a ball around the golf course just to be friends with them. I'd rather they come to the house of God and hang out with me.
Yeah.
Hello. Amen. I'd rather they come and hang out with me than me go hang out with them. The philosophy of the world is, let's go run with them and maybe we can bring them to the church. That's the wicked devices and the ungodly counsel of the devil. It never works that way. You'll never find anywhere where that has worked, where the church has went to the world to run with the world to bring them to church. That doesn't go that way. The devil always deceives, and the church will find themselves out in the world wondering how in the world we ever got out here in such a mess.
That's right.
Saying go, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's real, amen. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Notice who I've got to hurry. My soul ain't got my message yet. This is just an introduction. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Now he's not taking their counsel. Bless the man, the blessed man. He's not taking their counsel. He's not standing in the way of those sinners. He's not hanging around with them. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He finds no rest in the atheist is scoffing. He finds no rest at the rebels who mock of sin. He finds no rest for those who mock of eternity, who those who mock of hell and mock of heaven, and even those who mock of the eternal God. He finds no rest. This man has learned a better philosophy than that of the infinite. He's a blessed man. Notice the progression as we look at this of the ungodly, the walketh, the standeth, and the sitteth. At the very beginning, whenever a man begins to take counsel of the ungodly, he's just walking with the ungodly. And if he takes that ungodly counsel, he'll find himself standing with the sinners. He'll be numbered among them. He'll be proud to be a part of that group, a part of that crowd. He'll partake of their evil deeds, and he'll see no harm. But after a while, the Bible says he sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a downward fall. Amen. It's a downward progression. They start off by listening, then they end up secondly by participating, and then before long they're sitting down and getting comfortable in the ungodliness of the world and the wickedness of evil men. And they sit in the seat of scornful. When men living in sin, listen, things go from bad to worse. It goes from bad to worse. Start out by just walking in the counsel of the careless and the ungodly, and those that forget God, to form a habit of being with them and willfully violating God's commands, until they sit in the seat of the scornful. My friend, that's not a blessed individual. That's not a blessed individual. That individual is headed for hell. They're on the way to destruction. That's those that's rejected God. But that's not the blessed man. Amen. My title to my message today is Blessed is the Man. Going to verse number 2. Going to verse number 2. The Bible says, but. Talk about that man that's blessed. He doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And he doesn't take counsel from the ungodly. But his delight, what he loves to do, is to meditate on the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. Watch this. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law does He meditate day and night. That law of the Lord is the Word of God. And we meditate upon that day and night. Right. When you start your day, you pray, amen, and talk to God. And God talks to you through His Word. And you get your Bible and you begin to read the Word of God. And you can choose a verse, you can choose a chapter, you can choose whatever you want to choose. But you begin to read and something jumps off the pages.
Yeah.
And before long you're chewing on that through the day. You're meditating on what that means to me. How that's blessed my blesser. Amen. How that has encouraged me, or how that's charged me or challenged me. And you meditate on that. And the Bible says that is our, the blessed man. That's our delight. Yeah. Amen. Listen, the world has got all kinds of things they like to throw out there for you to listen to and to meditate on. That's why it's very important what you let go into your mind gate. Amen. Be careful what goes in the eye gate, what goes in the ear gate, and into the mind gate. Because what goes in the ears ends up in the mind. I've listened to songs as a teenager, and I'm not proud of this, but I've listened to ungodly, worldly songs. And now, even as a 51, soon to be 52-year-old pastor of a church who loves the Word of God, there's still times when my mind would bring back that ungodliness. Amen? That's just the way the mind works. It does that. And listen, the world will say, well, that's okay. You can listen to that if you like. No, you cannot. You can't do that. You got to fill your mind with the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. I don't want to think about those ungodly things that I've heard before. I don't want to think about the ungodliness of the world and ungodly deeds and ungodly men do. That's not my delight. Shouldn't be the believer. The believers, it should not be your delight. Your delight should be to meditate, amen, to delight in the law of the Lord. I was reading through the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and I'm reading, and I shared a little bit on Wednesday night, and I may come back tonight and finish that message that I had for Wednesday night that I didn't preach. But listen, I was reading about David, and had God directly used David, and there when Saul tried to take his life, and there in that passage of scripture which I read Wednesday night, that Saul looks at David because of all the things that went on in David's life, and how David followed God and didn't take the counsel of the ungodly, but he followed the Lord. I just believe Psalm 71 is written by David. You don't have to agree with that if you don't want to. Amen. I just believe that. Yeah. Amen. Just because of the characteristic of the literacy of the Bible and how it's written, I believe that's David. Amen. And listen, David understood what it meant to follow the Lord. And David says, listen, you'll be a blessed person if you're just delighted in the law of God. And Saul looks at David and says, thou art more righteous than I. You know why he said that? Because he could tell they've been walking with God. Wasn't standing in the seat of standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Follow the Lord. Meditate on the Word of God. Amen. That's what we find under light. The Bible says that in His law doth he meditate day and night. I'm not going to stop there. I've got a little bit more time. I'm going to preach verse number 3. And he shall, what's this now? He shall be, not that he might be, not that he could be, but the Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I said a while ago when I was reading that to underline that and mark that in your Bible. You notice that word rivers has the S on it. We've talked about S's in the Bible before. Amen. That means it's more than one. It's plural. So there's not just one river. There's many rivers. How many rivers? I don't know. I don't have no idea. But I do know this. The Bible says that if the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the seat of standeth the way of sinners, or standeth in the seat of the scornful, but delights himself in the law of God and meditates on the word of God, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. David in Psalms 32 begins to talk about the drought in his life. David had sinned against the Lord, sinned against Israel. Y'all know the story. You know the account where David sinned with Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up, but that sin in David's life, David understood what it meant to be dry.
Right.
Here the Bible says that the believer, the ones that meditate on the Word of God, would find themselves planted like a tree, amen, by the rivers of water. I studied on that, meditated on that, and I couldn't quite grasp it when I first read it. It was one of those things kept jumping at it. The rivers of water. And I got to thinking about some rivers of water that you and I get to enjoy. If we're saved, it's when we're planted. Amen. And we are rooted and grounded, or we ought to be, in the Word of God. We're commanded to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And we ought to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And there's a reason for that, because when you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, there's many rivers that we get to partake of. There's a river of pardon. Whoop! Amen. There's a river of pardon. My sins no longer hold me back. Amen. I've been pardoned. So there's the river of pardon. I wrote down just a few things that just kind of come to me. There's the river of grace. Amen. Thank God for His grace.
Amen.
We're planted like a tree by the rivers, and that rivers. Now listen, it's a river of pardon. It's a river of grace. It's a river of promise. It's a river of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's a river of never failing supply. Everything you need, He has. Everything that you ever, every desire, He has that. There's no need to worry about the supplies of failing. That river will never run dry. Amen. The river of grace will never run dry. Lord, I didn't write this one down, but there's a river of mercy. Amen. It'll never run dry. It's a river of love that'll never run dry. Hallelujah. It's a river of encouragement. Amen. That'll never run dry. When you're down in depressed, and discouraged, and distressed, and life just keeps to throw things at you, listen, that's a river that never runs dry. Guess where I'm planted? I'm planted right there, right smack in the middle of it. Amen. Or the side, but I don't know exactly where I'm planted. But I'm planted there near it anyway. Notice this. I'm going to work on that rivers of water. That's the charge of my battery right there. Just leave me alone for a minute, all right? The rivers shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Be the man first, let him come. Shall be like rivers of water springing up, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That bringeth what's his name, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That blessed man, he's planted. He's granted. And the Bible says there's rivers of water that supply everything that he needs. And he's meditating on the Word of God. And he's blessed by the things of God that's all around him. And the Bible says that man, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What in the world does that even mean? Well, I can promise you this. The ungodly is not bringing forth any godly fruit. The ungodly is full of hate. Amen. The ungodly is full of evil. The fruit that the ungodly bring forth is evil fruit. It's a fruit of hate. It's a fruit of despise. It's a fruit of discouragement. It's all kinds of different fruit. I don't want to focus on that. But the fruit of the blessed man is the fruit of love.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll find it in Galatians chapter 5. There's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, happiness, temperance, meekness. Amen. All those that you'll find. And those things come about in those that love the Lord, that meditate on the Word of God. For the one that's just saved, who is saved, it takes a while to understand what it means to love with a godly love. Amen.
Yes.
Y'all hear me? It's hard for them to understand how to love with a godly love. You can love but not love with a godly love until you know the love of God.
Amen.
Until the Holy Spirit moves in on the inside, takes up residence in your soul, you'll never understand what it is to have a godly love. Amen. That's the fruit of His season. Amen. That comes whenever they accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and they meditate on the Word of God. They begin to grow. They begin to glow. Amen. And they begin to understand some things. And the Bible says they shall bring forth fruit in His season. Everybody don't love at the same time. Everybody don't grow at the same pace. Listen, it's at your season that you begin to produce your fruit.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. What a shame it is for those who've been in church all their life and don't have any fruit to
eat.
Oh, I'm not going there either. I don't want folks on that. We shall listen. Being blessed as a blessed individual, we become a blessing.
Amen.
I mentioned that in Sunday school. Amen. Just a little bit. Hey, listen, if we're blessed, then we'll be a blessing. Amen. We give because we love. We give because we're blessed.
Right.
We do what we do because we love the Lord. We meditate on the Word of God. Amen. We share the gospel with the lost because we care for the soul. We have compassion. Compassion is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen.
Right.
A lost man that's lost and undone in his sins, he's never had compassion. You don't know what that means until the Holy Spirit moves in on the inside. Then he knows that something's changed. Hallelujah. On the inside. There's been a change in his life. And now he can't shut up. He wants to tell everybody. Hey, let me tell you what happened to me. Amen. The woman ran back to the city and said, let me tell you about a man that told me all that I had been. There's a change on the inside. Amen.
Amen.
When we're blessed, we're a blessing to others. Notice this. The Bible says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Like a tree that's planted, rooted, grounded. But then it says his leaf also shall not wither. What in the world does that mean? Well, my life has produced fruit. I've lived my life as a blessed man.
Amen.
Amen. I can testify this one. I can preach about myself because I live my life as a blessed man. Every day of my life's not an easy thing. God never said anywhere in His Word that it would be easy. He never said that. But He said, I'll bless you.
Right.
If you just meditate on my word, if you'll follow my lead, son, I'll guide your steps. And I'm a blessed man.
Amen.
I have hard days just like everybody else. I have discouraging days like everybody, and I'm still a blessed man. Worst day of my life, I'm still a blessed man.
Amen.
Mercy. Listen, but the Bible says, in the producing of the fruit in this life, there's those that's seen my life. There's those that's watched my life. My grandbabies has watched their papa. Amen. My daughters has watched their daddy. My wife has watched her husband. The congregation of my church has watched their pastor.
Amen.
And the list can go on and on and on. But the Bible says that blessed man, his leaf, it shall not wither. What does that mean, preacher? That means when I'm gone, there's still that leaf that's lingering. It's never going to wither. There once was a man of God that stood in that pulpit that preached the Word of God. There once was a papa that lived for God, that taught me the things of God. I once had a daddy that told me that Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Amen.
I can't preach for being blessed. Listen, the Bible says that blessed man, his leaf, it will not wither. There's a legacy that lives on after we're gone. There's that grandpa. There's that husband. There's that daddy. There's that son-in-law. There's that whatever law. There's that loved one. Their leaf has shot because they live for God.
Amen.
Hey, listen real close. Listen real close to this preacher. That loved one may never come to know God while we're living there. That legacy that you lived before, it'll never die. It'll live on. Y'all listening?
Yes.
It'll live on. Long after I'm gone, that one I witnessed to, God may remind them. You remember what that preacher said? You remember what you heard over at the house of God? Hey, you remember what that papa said? You remember what that daddy said? You remember what that co-worker said? God, sometime way down the road in the future, may bring it to their remembrance. Hey, you listen to what they said. You remind them of what the Word of God said. And they now go on to be with that Lord, that one that they love, that one that they talk to, that one that they live for. They now are with Him. You remember that? Remember how He told you that you would die in your sins and go to hell if you didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember how that mama prayed and that mama said, if you don't change your way. And that grandma that prayed for hours upon hours on her knees and wept and cried. Never she's gone, that leaf, hallelujah, that leaf will not wither. Those prayers will be answered.
Right.
Hallelujah, someday, prayerfully, hopefully. There's been a many of mamas and a many of daddies and a many of grandmas that's prayed and wept and begged God to save that lost child and that lost grandbaby, that lost grandchild, to save them from the devil's hand. My friend, listen real close. Well, God just pricked my heart just when I was reading this. Now listen, as we live this life and we meditate on that Word of God and we follow the leading of the Lord and we follow His Word to the best of our ability, we are faithful to Him. We're faithful to His Word. We're faithful to the house of God. And everything in our life is based on the Word of God. If we live our life that way, then we have fruit, amen, of such a life. And our family sees that. And don't despair whenever this life is over and we go into the next and we meet the Lord. Don't despair that leaf will wither. I know that I myself will often fall whenever I leave this world. Who will take my place? I'll be honest with you, this morning I was burdened in a camp meeting. Many years ago, I was greatly burdened in this camp. I was sitting there listening to the man of God preach. Matter of fact, it was right up here in High Point, North Carolina, the old-fashioned camp meeting they used to have. I don't know if they still have that camp meeting or not, but they used to many years ago. And I was in church, of course, and trying to do the best that I could for the Lord. And I was sitting there, and Brother Joe Arthur, matter of fact, was the pastor, the preacher of that time. Brother Joe Arthur, if you ever heard him preach, he's a wild man. I have no idea the message he preached. He said one thing that caught my attention. And God began to work on my heart. He said, who will fill the shoes? And he began to name many great men of God. And he said, who will fill their shoes? When they go off the scene, who's going to fill their shoes? And God began to work on my heart. That's whenever God began to deal with me about becoming a preacher. Surrendering my life to do His will. I don't want to get into all that. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And then I begin to think about that thing. Whenever these men go off the scene, who will fill their shoes? And there's been a many men to go off the scene. There's been many. I was listening the other day. I turned the radio on. I was coming through Winston-Salem. I turned the radio on. Old Brother Stennett Ballou. Hallelujah. If you haven't ever heard Brother Stennett preach, so you can hear him on the radio. You can't hear him live anymore. He's in glory. But old Stennett Ballou said, and God saves an old sinner. Now I'm telling you, those old men of God, just full of God. I was right, and I turned radio on, and here's old Stennett Ballou preaching. And old Stennett Ballou began to, at the end of the service, at the end of the message, he began to talk about the camp meeting that's going on in Resaca, Georgia. Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting, to have every tune to begin to talk about that camp meeting. And said, if you've never been there, here's the address, here's the date. So I thought, Lord, that might be the one then. Brother Stennett Williams in heaven, Brother Sammy Allen's in heaven, they've gone off the scene. But you know what? Their leaf hasn't withered. their life is still a legacy. There's still people talks about Stanley Ballou and the life that he lived. There's men that talk about Brother Sammy Allen and the life that he lived for God. And man, there's local pastors that's in this area that's lived for God, that's gone off the scene, that me and them are still talking about. There's grandmas that's lived and lived for God, that's gone to heaven, and people are still talking about that godly grandma. Whenever I was in the girls' home ministry, and I was in a church in Asheville, and I worked out at that church as the church that got us to be in the beginnings of our ministry. And there was a little Everling lady, I can't remember her name. She's the sweetest lady I ever met in my life. She was a prayer. And the pastor told me, see that little lady sitting there? And I think, I'm trying to think of her name, but I can't. I said, yeah, I see her. I said, that's the greatest asset to this church. Amen. And I said, really? I said, she must be pretty wealthy. He said, no, sir. She's a widow lady. Amen. Said, she probably don't have two nickels to rub together. I said, what makes her so special? Says that lady comes to this church every Tuesday, and she gets on the altar, and she prays for her church, and she prays for her pastor, and she prays for her family.
Amen.
That was a real blessing. I thought, boy, that's pretty good. That's nice that she does that. Whenever I started in the ministry, that little lady started praying for the ministry. Amen. Wasn't long after that she passed away, and everybody in that church knew it. We could tell. Somebody wasn't praying like they used to be. There was a difference. Amen? There was a difference in the church atmosphere. There's a difference in our lives because she wasn't there praying. I'm telling you, listen, what we do in this life has major consequences. There's circumstances around every decision you and I make. Are we producing fruit of the gospel? Are we walking in the path of the righteous? When we leave this world, are we leaving behind a leaf that went on with her? But the Bible says with the ungodly, it is not so. When they die, they perish. Their life perishes. Nobody talks about what a great life they lived and what a legacy they leave behind. Normally, most people don't want to be like the ungodly because their life normally ends in tragedy. The rock stars that die at 28 years old. Many of the rock stars never lived to be 40 years old. Nobody wants to live a life like that. They want to be famous. They want to sing. But they don't want to be like that. They want to make it to 50. What's our life? Amen. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. I want to encourage you all this morning that you've followed the Word of God. You've obeyed the Word of God. You meditate on the Word. I know we're not perfect. I'm not preaching sin as perfection. We're all not perfect. We're sinners. There's none righteous. No one. We all sin. As Brother Hoyt preached on Wednesday night, we don't make it a habit of sin. Amen. We do our best to live by God's Word. We meditate on that day and night. And we bear fruit because we're doing it. And those around us know that we're living for God because of the fruit that we bear. And then whenever this life is over for us, we leave behind a leaf. Amen? We leave behind that. I'm glad my leaf went with her. Amen? I'm glad I'm living a life for the Lord. That when it's over, it's not just over for me here. I move on. I graduate. Amen? But for those that know me, it's not over for them either. Because I've left something behind. Amen? And just because you don't hear my voice, I'm going to hang you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to leave something behind for you to hear. You'll still hear those words. You'll still hear that invitation. You'll still know there was something special about that individual. They was godly. Amen? They was godly. May God save our families. May God save our communities. May God help us to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
That we leave behind something that won't wither.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the wonderful privilege you give us, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the precious.